Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My husband's Grandma Ruth was an avid traveler. She traveled to places around the world and was fascinated by the culture and history and geography of all the places that she visited. When she was 80, she decided to go to Antarctica. And I can just imagine tiny Grandma Ruth walking around on the Antarctic glaciers with her huge parka and boots, and then stripping down to her swimsuit to go into the hot springs near the shore, which I know she did because Lee was there with her. Years later, someone told Grandma that there was nothing to see in Timbuktu, a barren, God-forsaken place, they told her. Grandma replied that there is nowhere on earth where there is nothing to see. And the next year, her daughter Anne and her son-in-law Dave went with her to Timbuktu to prove it, which is in Mali at the southern edge of the Sahara Desert, in case you're wondering. And at 88, Grandma Ruth rode a camel in Timbuktu. Today's gospel lesson finds Jesus and his disciples getting off their boat in a God-forsaken place. They have crossed the Sea of Galilee, crossed ethnic and religious borders, and come to the country of the Gerasenes. As the story begins, you can imagine music from a horror movie playing in the background. Jesus gets out of the boat, and immediately a man comes running toward him out of a graveyard. He is wild and unshaved, his hair sticks out, and his clothes hang on him in scraps. He has rocks in his hands, and his arms and legs are covered in bruises and oozing sores. As he runs up, Jesus says to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And the man throws himself on the ground in front of Jesus and cries, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Jesus comes into this foreign place, and this mad person runs up to him, and they see each other. Jesus sees the condition of the man possessed and controlled by forces that do him harm, driven from his home, living alone among the tombs. And Jesus responds with compassion and authority, "Come out of him." The spirit possessing the man knows Jesus too and calls him Son of the Most High God. Then Jesus asks, "What is your name?" And the man replies, "Legion." Legion, a huge number, also happens to be the name of a regiment of Roman soldiers. 5,000 or 6,000 soldiers was called a legion. And this man is overwhelmed by his suffering and outcast from his community. He suffers from an impossible bondage. He is controlled by something beyond himself and powerless to free himself. But freeing people from bondage, that's what Jesus does. Now, many modern readers at this point in the story try to explain the man's suffering in contemporary terms. Maybe he's schizophrenic, they say, or in some other way, mentally ill. But I think that that kind of explanation misses the point that Mark is trying to make with the story. The man is bound by powers beyond his control, and Jesus frees him. Jesus has divine authority and supernatural power. This story is one of four exorcisms that Jesus performs in Mark's gospel. This conflict with unseen forces and powers is integral to Mark's story. Now, if you remember last week, we read about Jesus stepping into a boat so that he could speak to the large crowds at the Sea of Galilee and tell them parables. The story in the middle that we didn't read was as Jesus and the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee, they were caught in a storm. Jesus was sleeping when the storm came up. The boat was tossed about on the waves, and the disciples woke him up in great fear. Jesus stood up and looked out at the sea and said, "Peace, be calm." I imagine a quiet, calm voice which still carries, cuts right through the tempest, certain of its power to quiet the wind and calm the sea. And the disciples look at one another and say, "Who is this then that even the wind and sea obey him?" And then they reach the shore and get out of the boat and encounter this Gerasene man. These two stories work together in Mark's gospel, both showing in different ways the authority of Jesus, who is truly the Son of the Most High God and shares in God's power. And so the question that comes to me in reading these stories today, what is it that binds us today? What are the storms that rock our lives? What is it that controls you, that takes your power and controls your actions? What power or force surrounds you, tosses you, and tries to do you harm? It's not a comfortable question to dwell on. Some of us probably come to it right away. For some, it may take more thought. Some of us have known some freedom and healing for those conditions, while others may still feel caught in the throes of the storm, tossed here and there. And this story tells us Jesus has power over what binds you. Jesus has power to calm the storm. Jesus offers freedom and deliverance, restoration and return to wholeness. Not perfectly, not completely, not always in just the way we ask. Those things are yet to come when the reign of God is fully realized. But we say, in the words of the old confession, we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. It is Jesus who frees us, and we continue in bondage. We are saint and sinner. We are slave and free. But many of the wounds and traumas and habits that bind and control us can be met by the power of Jesus, who says, "You are beloved. You are mine." So Jesus sees the man among the tombs, not only the possessing demons which fill him, but the man who is suffering and outcast and desperate. And Jesus reaches out and offers him freedom. The demons beg not to be sent away, and so Jesus sends them into a huge herd of pigs that is feeding on the hillside, and the pigs run and throw themselves into the sea. There are swineherds who have been tending the pigs, and they saw all of this happening, and when they see it, they run around the countryside and into the city to tell everyone this amazing thing. People come from all around, and imagine their surprise when they see the possessed man, the one that they found so dangerous and out of control that they exiled him to live alone among tombs. And there he is, sitting peacefully in borrowed clothes, sharing a meal with Jesus and his friends. And like the disciples whose amazement when Jesus calms the storm holds more than a little fear, the locals are not at all comfortable with this man. So they ask him to please leave. Go back home. The one Jesus had freed begs to go with him, but Jesus refuses. It's curious that often in Mark's gospel, when the people of Judea and Galilee, the Jewish people, recognize Jesus, he tells them to be quiet and not share what they've seen or understood. But here, in this foreign land, Jesus tells the man, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And so the man goes, not only to his hometown, but to all the far-flung Greco-Roman cities of the Decapolis. That's 10 Greco-Roman cities there together in the area. And so he becomes one of the first witnesses to Jesus among the Gentiles. Yesterday afternoon, I was at the installation service for Pastor Krista Van Zicklin and Pastor Wayne Nymanen at St. Luke Lutheran Church here in Albuquerque, way up on the east side. Bishop Jim Gonia was there to do the installation and heard when he entered the building that day that he would be giving a children's message. So Bishop Jim sat on the step and he talked to the kids and he asked, "Where does God live?" The first little one said, "In church." And Jim agreed, "Yes, we find God in church." The next very little boy kind of mumbled something and you could catch "home." And Jim agreed, "Yes, Jesus is at our homes." Then the next boy, he says, "Wherever we are." And Jim smiled, "Yes, that's right, wherever we are." And finally, the last girl says, "In our hearts." It was almost like he had practiced with the group beforehand. The kids just gave the sermon for him. God is wherever we are. God is with us in our hearts, no matter what we are doing or experiencing. In other words, there is no place which is God forsaken. Grandma Ruth knew it, and the story today tells us that. There is no place in the world or in the dark places of our lives where Jesus will not come and meet us and see us and offer us healing. Jesus said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And so with this man freed with demons, with the psalmist of old, we too can say, "I will sing of your steadfast love forever, O Lord. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations." You are God's beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen.